Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
So without further ado, I want to direct your attention tonight to the book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, real quick. And it's the New American Standard Bible, NSAB is what I'm going to use. And the words will be up there for you. And it says, "The word of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa, which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake." We're going to talk about Amos, this guy named Amos, right? Who really was not a prophet, but he speaks a prophecy, and we're going to talk about that. And I want to talk, and it says, "He said, 'The Lord roars from Zion and from Jerusalem. He utters his voice, and the shepherd's pasture grounds mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up.'" And I want to talk to you tonight also from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, "We are afflicted," and I will start with 7, that's fine. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of from ourselves." And then he says, "But we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing." Amen? In other words, all around me I might have adversity, and it might get my attention, but it's not going to take me under. I might be confused at times, but I haven't lost the battle. Amen? I want to speak to you tonight about, I want to ask you this question. Maybe this is a question you've asked. How did I get here? How did I end up here? Yeah. We know how you got here, Popeye. How did I get here? What I'm talking about, I think it's more than just the physical. It's something of the mental, something of the emotional, and even the spiritual. So I want to talk to you tonight about that, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you that you would use me tonight. Father, I know that you have given me this word. I heard from you. I'm asking you that you would speak it to them clearly. How it has been pressed on my heart, will you give it to them and deliver it to them? Father, I pray that you would condition me to be able to deliver it to them tenderly, lovingly, but Lord, clearly. And I ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to tell you a story, and it's a somewhat of a lightning story. And let me tell you, it goes like this. It says, "During a transatlantic flight, the pilot came over the intercom and said, 'Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be your pilot for this plane's flight. I can tell you that the flight is going quite well. Nevertheless, I have to tell you about a minor inconvenience that has occurred. The passengers on the right side can, if they look out their windows, see that the closest engine is slightly vibrating. That shouldn't worry you, because this plane is equipped with 4 engines, and we are flying along smoothly and at an acceptable altitude. As long as you are looking out the right side, you might as well look at the other engine on that side, and you will notice that it is glowing, or more precisely, one would say, burning. That shouldn't worry you either, as this plane is designed to fly with just 2 engines if necessary, and we are maintaining an acceptable altitude and speed. As long as we are looking out the plane, those of you on the left side shouldn't worry. But if you would look out your side of the plane and notice that the engine is supposed to be there, but it's missing. It fell off about 10 minutes ago. Let me tell you that we are amazed that the plane is still doing so well without it. However, I will call your attention to something a little more serious. Along the center aisle, all the way down the plane, a crack has appeared. Some of you are, I suppose, able to look through the crack and maybe even notice that the waves of the Atlantic Ocean are below. In fact, those of you with very good eyesight may be able to even notice a small lifeboat that was thrown from the plane. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you will be happy to know that your captain is keeping an eye on the progress of the plane from the lifeboat below. I'm sure it's probably safe to say that those passengers would say, "How did we get here?" That doesn't just happen immediately, right? You don't lose three engines and develop a crack right down the middle of the plane just quickly. It doesn't just happen immediately. It's a process. It's things that happen and take it to that point. You see, today you may be feeling like one of the passengers on the plane. You see, everywhere you look, things are just falling apart. And it seems like you will surely crash and burn. We have just gone through something that almost seems unprecedented. You have to understand, in 1 year, in a matter of 6 months, we have went through, whether whatever your opinion is or not, we have went through some pretty major events. One is, we have went through a presidential impeachment, rumors of war, a worldwide pandemic, and now in a situation where people are overrun with fear. It would be one thing if it was just one thing. But it's not one thing. In 6 months, congratulations, you have all went through that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are things that you will no doubt tell people about one day. That I went through all of this in just 6 months' time. Right? Now, of course, there have been many other events in the world that could come in comparison, but to say that they all happened at once, not really, right? But here's the situation. It'd be one thing if those pains were only just that in the external. But unfortunately, there have been pains, and I'm not ignorant to say that there haven't been pains within even this body of people that were more personal in nature. That during all of this, it's possible that some of you may be even experiencing a marriage that is falling apart or has fell apart. You might have even lost your career. Your finances may have plummeted. Your kids and your emotions and your health may be on the verge of collapse. And you're thinking to yourself, how in the world can I withstand one more thing? To the point where everybody has already said they didn't think you would last more than 6 months in this Christianity thing. Now you've proven them wrong, but now you've got a timer on it. And you're saying, I don't know how much more of this stuff I can withstand. I don't know how much more of this stuff I can handle. Because every time I turn around, it's something new. It's another one. It's another one. It's another pain. It's another grievance. Somebody else is turning their back on me. Somebody else is coming against me. Every time I turn around, it seems like something new. And if you're that person that you feel like everything in your life is falling apart today, you need to know this truth. Whether you can see it, whether you believe it, or whether you know it to be true, God is in control. Whether it looks like it right now, the symptoms may not look like it, but I want you to know this, that God is still in control. He still knows who you are. He still knows your name. You better believe He knows the pains you're going through. He knows the experiences you're having to walk through. He is in control. Amen? Hallelujah. You need to know that He has not fell off of His throne. You need to know that He loves you and He has a plan for your life. You need to know that He not only has a plan for your life, but He's a restorer. He's a restorer of those people who trust in Him. He's a restorer of the people who want to know Him. He's a restorer of the people that are broken and downtrodden. If you feel like you can't get up, all you have to do is reach your hand out and He's there to restore you. You see, you might be asking that very question. How did I get here? How did I end up in this moment? How did I end up in this situation? How did I end up in this state of mind? How did I end up where I've lost all of this? I didn't see it all coming. I didn't see it coming all at once. But all of a sudden now I'm at this realization that I've lost it. That the only thing I've got left is my mind. And some would argue that. Right? In our text, we hear the voice of Amos, and he's decrying the words of the Lord for Judah and Israel. In this letter written from an unlikely prophet. And you say unlikely, why? Because Amos was a shepherd. And the Bible says he was a tenderer of sycamore fruit. You see, a tenderer is someone that would go and actually take sycamore fruit. You might not know what that is, but sycamore fruit actually is more of like a type of fig. And what a tenderer would do is he would go along and make slight cuts in the fruit. And this would actually help the fruit expand. And when it was ripened, it would actually be more tender. That is what Amos was. And you see, God takes at that time when people's hearts were so hardened. When people's hearts were at a point to where they couldn't take it anymore. When they were had loss of direction, and He takes a shepherd. When they don't know where they can go, He takes a shepherd. When they're straying away from the flock, He grabs a shepherd. He says, I can't trust the prophet because they won't speak the truth. But I'll get me a shepherd. I'll get me somebody that will come into them and say, I see you walking away. I'm here for you. You don't ever mistake the power you have in your voice. Don't ever mistake the power you might have and the effect you might have on somebody. You might say, well, I'm not a preacher. You might say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not somebody that can do all of those things. I don't have a degree. I've never been to seminary. You might say all of those things, but you need to understand that when God needs a shepherd, He'll use a shepherd. When He needs somebody to cut the fruit and make the fruit tender, He'll use a tenderer. When He needs somebody to soften a heart, He'll use somebody that can soften a heart. It doesn't always come in the form of a prophet. Don't ever mistake the power you might have in your tongue. And He grabs Amos and He says to Amos, He says, I'm going to use you for a time. And the word actually says that Amos said, I'm not from a line of prophets. I'm not from a lineage of prophets. In other words, he says, have you seen what I come from? Do you know the drunks in my past? Do you know the alcoholics that I come from? Do you know the drug addicts that I come from? Have you seen them? Because if you've seen them, God, surely you know you wouldn't use me. And God says, no, I got the right address. I didn't miss this. I didn't mess this one up. I've got the address. I'm here for you. I don't care about your lineage. I don't care about what you came from. I don't care about your past. I don't care about what you once did. Right now, you're the man for the job. You see, the children of Israel are in a state of disaster. They've lost almost everything. And there are many different factors that have brought them to this place. But the problem is they have lost their unification. In verse 3 and 9, chapter 3 and 3, it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? In other words, if you're not in agreement over the direction we're going, you're not in agreement, you're going to fall. Somebody's going to get upset along the way and you're going to fall apart. And he says, the situation, Amos, I'm telling you, the situation we've got right now is there's a whole lot of calamity going on. There's a whole lot of situations that these people cannot find hope for. And it's all because they won't get in agreement.
It's all because they've got one idea. It's all because they got another idea. It's all because mama told them this. It's all because daddy told them this. It's all because mama said don't like this person because this person is that way. It's all because somebody sowed a seed of disagreement in them a long time ago. And because of that, calamity has fallen. The prophet's voice has been silenced and nobody hears the word of God. Be careful when the body of Christ becomes separated. Be careful when you allow divisions into your heart. Be careful when you allow divisions into your marriage. Be careful when you allow divisions in your home. Be careful when you allow divisions in your family. You've got to be in agreement. If you want to get through this calamity, you've got to walk together, go in the same place.
He says, how long can they walk together and be in disagreement? How long can you be excited about your thing and you're excited about your thing and you're not working towards the same purpose? Listen, we got one purpose, right? We got one purpose. Now, it's built upon a bunch of different little purposes that come along with it. But one main purpose, and that's to see the lost saved. Amen? Because it's bigger than us. And he says, you've got to get in alignment. Because if you're not in alignment, there's no way I'm going to be able to speak to you. Then he says to them, the Bible says, the Lord roars. And that word roars means moans. He moans from Zion and from Jerusalem. And he utters, that word utters means cries his voice. And the shepherd's pasture grounds mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up. You have to understand that he is describing in detail the heart of God as he speaks over his children. He says, I love them so much. I want them to prosper so much. But they can't get in agreement. They fight with one another. They're on Facebook fighting with one another. Oh, you can laugh about it, but it's true. They're in one setting, they're doing this. In another setting, they're doing this. When they see their brother here, they're smiling and hugging. But when they leave, they're talking about him behind the back. And he says, I need you to know, I just love my children. I just need my children to know how much I love them. I just need my children to know how much I care for them. I just need my children to know that I'm reaching out for them right now. And the only reason why they're still wallowing in their filth is because they can't see me. Because they're too occupied with their brother and their sister. He says, there's been enemies that have attacked them. So multiple enemies. Amos describes this in perfect detail. He says that they have been, in chapters 1 and 2, that they've been plundered. He says, you need to understand that your present state is the result of years of attacks. It's not just something that happened overnight. People say, what makes somebody break? It's usually not one event. That might be the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. But it's typically not one event. Typically, it's years of things, years of problems, years of emotions, years of baggage, years of heartache, of things that come up. You say, well, what made this marriage fail? I guarantee you it wasn't one argument. You say, what made this person relapse? I guarantee you it wasn't one temptation. It was something that was unchecked. It was something that they didn't handle right at that moment. It was something that they didn't bring to the blood of Jesus and let him cover it with his blood. You need to know this, that your enemies rarely travels alone. That's my first point. Your enemy rarely travels alone. You see, he's a coward. He's a coward. He doesn't travel alone. The Bible even says that when he's kicked out, he brings seven more like himself. Right? Your enemy doesn't travel alone. Amos describes actually five different enemies, and he says what's going to happen to them. The first one he describes is the Syrians. And in Amos chapter 1 and 3, it says that they thresh Gilead with implements of sharp iron. In other words, they consistently beat you down. This kind of enemy just consistently wears on you and wears on you and beats you down. This is the enemy that tells you you're not good enough. This is the enemy that tells you you don't have what it takes to get through this. This is the enemy that tells you you will always be an alcoholic. This is the enemy that will tell you that you will always be a drug addict. This is the enemy that will tell you you will always be a victim. This is the enemy that will tell you you will never rise to anything above what you have always rose to, because you're just not good enough. They're consistently breaking you down, consistently telling you you're not good enough, consistently telling you that you don't matter, consistently telling you that you're not smart enough, consistently telling you that you're not holy enough, consistently telling you that you sin too much and you'll never add up to that, consistently telling you that it will not get better. Is there anybody that's ever felt that enemy? The next enemy that he describes is the Philistines. He says in verse 6, he says, because they deported an entire population, deliver it up to Edom. That's what he was upset by. This enemy enslaves you. He said, it displaces you. Have you ever felt displaced? Have you ever felt like you've been in a place that you don't belong, but you know that you have the deed to it? Have you ever felt like you were in a place that you no longer fit in? That's a slavery mentality. It's a mentality that says that because you are this, you will always be that. It's a mentality that tells you because of your color, your gender, because of your status, because of who your mother and father were, because of what you have done in your life, because of all those things, you will forever not belong. It's the status of slavery. It's a mentality that says that you can never feel at home. You ever wondered why you are never comfortable in any setting? That it seems like the only place you're ever comfortable with is in a place of remote isolation? And that you get into there and you're away from everybody and nobody's around you, and it's the only place you feel comfortable? Because every place you go into, you feel insecure to be there. You feel like you don't have what it takes to get through it. That there's no way you can measure up to the status of everybody else around you. It's a slavery mentality. And I'm here to tell you that I serve a chain breaker. I serve someone that says, you may have been, but you will no longer be. I serve somebody that says, you might have been born in the poorhouse, but one day you'll be a millionaire. I serve somebody that says, you might have been strung out on crack, but today you're ministering my gospel. Do I have a witness in this house? Then he says, the next one's the Edomites. You see, the Edomites, that's an interesting one. Amos chapter 1, verse 9 and 11, it says, and he did not remember the covenant of his brotherhood, because he pursued his brother with his sword. You're saying, break that down for me. You see, Edomites are the descendants of Esau. The children of Israel, which is the house of Israel and the house of Judah, are the descendants of Jacob. They were brothers. You have to understand, a long, 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 long time ago, bitterness crept in between the two because of Jacob deceiving his brother over his birthright and taking his birthright. Well, the problem is Esau allows bitterness to happen. Now, of course, they come to an agreement and they have a pact, an agreement with one another. But God says that the Edomites, And he says to the children of Israel, he says, your brothers, your loved ones, they've become your enemy. The ones that you love the most. The ones that you have invested so much into. The ones that you have cared so much for time and time again. And here they have chased you with sword. Here they have broken their covenant with you. They have broken continually their promises. Haven't you noticed that sometimes it seems like those that you care the most for bring about the most pain? It's the family that can speak the words that can tear you to ruins. It's those that you entrust so much hope and peace into, that you entrust so much of yourself into, that they speak one word and it brings you to demise. And he says, it's them. Their anger has tore them continually. And he maintained his fury forever. You see, he said, the anger that they have, listen, you want to know something that locks people into a trap? It's when somebody they love is consistently angry with them. And you want to talk about starting fights and bitterness? That's what happens. I have seen World War III in families. Now they'll get out there and forgive their neighbor and hug them and love on them and say, you know, it's okay, we had a disagreement, but it's fine, it's good, we're good. But when it comes to family, now that stuff gets brought up every Thanksgiving. And everybody's on pins and needles because they're just saying, who's going to say something stupid first? Oh, I'm sorry, that must be my family, not yours. And you have this situation where everybody's uncomfortable. Nobody can get through it. Well, this same thing's happening with the children of Israel, where they've got this family bickering. Listen, children of God, you can't afford to fight with your loved ones. It's time to make amends. If they're your blood, they're your blood. Amen. I know of fathers and sons that will not talk to each other. They live in the same town. They both operate businesses, but they will not talk to each other. The son has children, and the father hasn't even seen his own grandchildren. They pass by each other every day going to work and don't even wave at each other. And all because somebody let their tongue slip at the wrong time. Then the next thing is, he says, then you have the Ammonites. Verse 13 says, I will not revoke its punishment because they have ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead. You see, this enemy is like no other, because it's not only there to destroy you right now, but it wants to rob you of your future. It wants to rob you of the ability to produce. It wants to rob you of the ability. See, there are people that are defeated from something that's happened 10 years in the past. And they're still operating like it's happening right now. Everybody else around them's gotten over it, but they're still walking in the past. And the enemy has got them trapped. He's not even wasting any more energy on you any longer. He's forgotten you and moved on to somebody else. But you are still sitting there fretting over the past. And God is saying, I love you too much to let this happen. I love you too much to stop the future. He has silenced your ability to speak and mentor. He has silenced your ability to be able to speak into somebody's life. He has spoken to you and told you that you don't have the ability to mother or father your children. That it's not in your nature to do it. And his whole purpose is to try to silence you from raising up the next prophet. I wish somebody would get that in here.
that it's more than just yourself. It's more than your selfish desires. It's more than your pain. It's more than your heartache. It's more than who told you this and who told you that. It's about the future. It's about time you give up some grudges, maybe not because you're ready for healing, but you refuse to let the hate and bitterness spew into your children. Oh, hallelujah. It's about time that you say that the pain stops here, that the anger stops here, that the bitterness will go no further, that I refuse to allow something somebody said to me 10 years ago hinder me from being the parent that my child needs. I refuse to allow my insecurities to hold me back from being the parent my child needs me to be. Hallelujah. You got to get over the fact that you're unqualified. All of us are unqualified. You got to get over the fact that you've got mistakes. Every one of us have made mistakes. But you have the ability to change the next generation. You have the ability to raise up an army. An army that will not back down. An army that will say to the enemy, I am here on your turf and I'm not leaving till you're defeated. If there's something you despise about your generation, don't sit there and wallow in it. Make up your mind that you're going to speak truth into the next generation and keep and stop back the hand of the enemy from ever affecting that one. He says, I'm going to speak to them, those that have robbed you of your future, the enemy that has told you that what has been will always be. And he says, the next one is the Moabites. Amos 2 and 1 says, because he has burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. He says, Edom, remember that's your brother. He said, because they have hurt your family. Because your family's to utter ruins. Talking to some people in here that are children of divorced homes. Talking to some people in here that maybe a parent or loved one committed suicide. And what you see is ashes. He says, I'm going to minister to you now. Because of what they have done. Yeah, Edom at times have been your enemy. But don't make the mistake of forgetting that they are still your family. They're still your blood. And though you might be upset about the choices that they made that have caused them to come to this situation, and though you might be totally in a state of anger, you need to know that I will avenge you. You need to know that I will. Listen, somebody in here. What the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to say to you tonight is, your pain, He gets it. Your hurt, He understands it. And He says, you are important enough for me that I would leave all of heaven and come to you and die on a cross. Are you hearing me tonight? That pain that you've held with your whole life, that pain that you have walked with, that has continually plagued you, that God is reaching out to you with moans and cries and saying, if you can just get in agreement, I'm here. I love you. I want you. You see, it's hard to have peace when you're in a consistent state of war, when you're constantly fighting a battle one after another. Now, not all of these wars could have been avoided, but often these enemies could have been avoided, though. How? You see, the children of Israel,
had suffered at the hands of the enemies from the beginning of their entry into Canaan, but it was a result of their partial acceptance of their pagan ways. Because they would get just close enough to the enemy to become good with God, so to speak, but still enjoy the pleasures that the enemy had. Oh yeah, they'd be in the temple on Sunday, but they'd walk out the gates on Saturday evening and walk down to the old Moabite town and say, "What you got going on tonight?" And so a lot of the wars that they were engaged in were because they were spending too much time with the enemy. Listen, you can't call it a break-in if you give him the keys. You have to understand, and I'm going to quote old James Varnum. You see, Jesus took the keys from the devil. He don't even have the keys to his own house. He's that big of a chump. But some of you have given him keys to your house. And you've allowed him to walk in. And you've allowed him to sow seeds of doubt into your child's life. You've allowed him to sow seeds of doubt into your young daughter and speak lies to her and tell her that she'll never add up to anything. And what she really needs is a mom and dad that'll say, "You're beautiful and God created you in his image. God has made you just like you are. He loves you and he's here to shower you with his blessings." And what we do is we open up the door and we set them up to be able to have to fight all of these enemies that are meant for prayer warriors. And we turn loose the innocent to them. We see things and we say, the Bible says, if it offends your brother, cut it off. We engage in things because it's not our problem. But little do we know that the next person to us is dealing with something that is their fault and that's their downfall. But yet we bring it up and we act like it's no big deal. And because we're okay. We're having fun in this. We somehow have worked it out to where we can go to God on Sunday and Saturday live like we want to. And the whole time your brother's sitting next to you dying in his place. Edom is dying in his place. And God is saying, listen, if you can just understand that I'm crying out for you, that I love you, that I'm here to make the difference, that I have never forsaken you, that I have never given up on you. We've got to quit giving access to the enemy in areas of our life that were only meant for him. Personal areas, places to where God only deserves. And when you do that, when you make up your mind that, listen, I'm tired of letting this enemy, whatever it is, you call it out, whatever it is. I'm tired of letting alcoholism bind me and enslave me. I'm tired of letting pornography enslave me. I'm tired of letting sexual immorality enslave me. I'm tired of letting the words of others enslave me. I'm tired of listening. Every time I wake up, all I hear is what my dad told me, that I was ugly and I'd never be good enough and that I wasn't smart enough. I'm tired of letting that. Today, it's over. When you make up your mind, this is what God promises. He said to the Assyrians, or to the Syrians, he sent fire to one of them who was sinning it. He sent fire and burned up the king of Syria. He destroyed their houses of pleasure. He sent and enslaved every one of them so that they couldn't rise up one day and create children that would enslave his children. The Philistines, he destroys their opportunity to curse any longer, and he destroys their entire lineage. The Edomites, God consumes their fortresses so that they no longer have the capacity to enslave anybody. The Ammonites, he says, I'm going to set the princes together and the kings together, and I'm going to send them into exile, and then I'm going to destroy the head of this problem for good, and it'll never plague you again. The Moabites, he causes them to
scatter in confusion and run in the midst of the sound of war. These were all defeated because God said, I love my children.
Now, these were all external forces. Next week, we're going to talk about internal forces that may plague us. These were all external forces. These were all things that some of them you could control, some of them you cannot. And every person, if you'd stand in this place. Now, you might be here tonight and you've said, Pastor, that's me. I'm a victim of what everybody's told me. That I've lived my life off based upon what everybody has said about me. And unfortunately, I believed it. That's me. I'm that person that said, that believes that I'm not good enough because of a fallen marriage. That believes that I don't have what it takes. You say, that's me. I never had a really good upbringing. I don't know anything about parenting. But yet I'm a parent and I don't know what to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity, and the Spirit Life team, if you'll come forward. If you would like prayer tonight, I want you to get prayer. But if you're uncomfortable with coming forward, that's fine. I'll pray for you. But I'm telling you, there's something about coming up here and letting these godly people lay hands on you. And if tonight you have made up your mind, you say, I'm done with this. I'm over it. I'm tired of fighting this battle. I'm tired of dealing with the same enemy every day. That I'm over it. And that's you. I want you to come forward right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Come forward. And I believe this. That statement you're making right now is an agreement. And God is saying, okay, now I'm here to speak for you. Right? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in here tonight and you say, listen, I understand all of that, but I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus. You would like to know Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you would raise your hand and say, I'd like to know Jesus tonight. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'm going to pray with you. And everybody, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I come before you as a broken vessel. I'm asking you tonight that you would forgive me. Forgive me of any place that I have sinned against you. Father, I ask you that you would allow me tonight to become one of your own. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for me. And I confess with my mouth that I need a Savior. And today, I ask you, Jesus, to live within me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now listen, if you said that prayer and you mean it, you said that prayer and you mean it, I believe that that is salvation.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.